I'd invite you this morning to turn to the book of Luke. Once again, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'd like for us to read once again verses 10 and 11. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And it reads, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." As we consider the Christmas story this morning, I would like for us to focus on those that initially witnessed our Lord's entrance into the world. Here in Luke chapter 2, the Bible teaches us that the grand announcement was made to shepherds caring for their sheep by night. To be a shepherd within the biblical setting was not a prestigious occupation. In fact, to be a shepherd, you were looked upon as being lowly, poor, uneducated. It wasn't a glamorous way to make a living. And it's by no coincidence that the grand announcement concerning the birth of a Saviour was initially given to some lowly shepherds. At the end of verse number 10 it reads, "which shall be to all people." The birth of Jesus Christ is a message of hope for all. That includes you and I this morning. A message of hope for all people. In the book of Romans, we are told in chapter 15, verse number 13, that God is a God of hope. And I'd like to spend a few moments this morning focusing upon this announcement given to these lowly shepherds there in the field watching over their sheep by night. And let's note the principles of hope that we find therein. So while these shepherds were caring for their flock during the night, the angel announced the birth of a Saviour. And note then verse number 11 that our hope centres around a person, the God of hope. And the angel said emphatically, "For unto you, for your benefit, is born this day, for such a time as this, in the city of David." In verse number 4, the Bible defines the city of David. Note then verse 4 of Luke 2, it reads, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." And also note then verse number 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, to see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So this angel makes this grand announcement and said to this group of shepherds that in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour is born. Born for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. What benefit is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to you and I? What benefit is there in the birth of Christ that gives us hope? Well, verse number 11 clarifies. Is born unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a Saviour. That's the key word. A Saviour. A Deliverer. A Redeemer. That implies the fact that we need deliverance. We need salvation. Because the angel said, for unto you is born in the city of David a Saviour. And then at the end of verse number 11, it goes on to read, which is Christ. The word Christ is Messiah, the Anointed One. And throughout the pages of the Old Testament Scriptures, many of God's choicest prophets made reference to a coming Saviour, a coming Messiah. And this angel announced this group of shepherds, for unto you, for your benefit, is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Saviour. The Saviour is Christ the Lord. In the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse number 2, no less than 400 years before, Micah the prophet foretold this Messiah, whose beginnings is from everlasting, will be born, will come into the world in this little town called Bethlehem. So it's by no coincidence that this angel said to this group of shepherds, that is born unto you this day in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. My friend, this morning, Jesus Christ is the source of hope. He is the Saviour of the world. Note then verse number 11 once again, is born a Saviour unto you, a Saviour. That implies that you and I are in need of deliverance. We need to be saved. Well, the Bible teaches us that we certainly need salvation. We need deliverance. We need deliverance from sin, the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us upon the face of the earth there is not one just man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, the Bible teaches us we are worthy of death, physical and spiritual death, separation from a holy God. Jesus Christ came into the world to be that Saviour. That's what Christmas is all about. Now, when we remove the fact that Jesus Christ was born a Saviour, then we just simply find ourselves committing idolatry by worshipping a baby and a child. But Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world. And the angel very specifically said to this group of shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, as was prophesied by Micah the prophet in Bethlehem, a Saviour which is Christ, which is the Anointed One. My friend, that is what Christmas is all about. This is what Christmas is all about. We rejoice, we celebrate, we rejoice in the fact that God has provided a means of salvation. The means of salvation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And my hope and prayer for you this morning, that as we remember our Lord's physical birth, His entrance into the world, He that is from everlasting, the Bible teaches us, God became flesh and dwelt among us. As we reflect upon His birth, I'd like to challenge you about your need of a second birth. Your need to be born again. Because the Bible teaches us, unto you is born this day. And Jesus Christ said to a religious man, except a man be born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither will he enter into the kingdom of God. See, your physical birth brought you into this world. And John chapter 3, verse number 6 teaches us, that which is born of the flesh, is physical. But that which is born of the Spirit is spiritual. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You need a second birth. That second birth is possible because Jesus Christ, the Savior, has been born. Jesus Christ came into the world, the Bible teaches us, to save sinners. And these shepherds heard very clearly during that evening that this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. And I wonder this morning on this Christmas day, do you know what it means to be born again? Do you understand what it means to have that spiritual birth take place within your heart and life by faith in Jesus Christ? Well, that's been made possible because of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us we as sinful beings are worthy of death, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ was born to die. He lived a spotless, sinless life, and he went to an old rugged cross, and on that cross he shed his blood for your sin and for my sin, to provide salvation for the whole world. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We do not just worship a baby in a manger. We worship a Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, one with God the Father, one with God the Holy Spirit, Creator of the universe, became flesh, dwelt among us, and went to an old rugged cross, and on that cross, He died for your sins. He paid for your sins. He paid for my sins. So that you and I can be born again, born into the family of God by faith. Oh, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority to become the sons of God. Let me ask you this morning, as we remember the birth, the entrance of the Savior into the world this day, let me ask you, my friend, have you experienced what Jesus referred to as being born again? Being born from above. A second birth by faith in Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ is a message of hope. That hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Man cannot live without hope. To be hopeless removes any desire to live, to exist. And may I submit to you, my friend, this morning that a relationship with Jesus Christ gives us hope. Because hope is of God, the God of hope. Lasting hope that enables you and I to live life and to live life abundantly is found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Note there in verse number 10, this hope that is found in Jesus Christ removes all unnecessary fear. The angel said unto them, fear not, fear not. This hope in Jesus Christ, this hope of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, will remove any unnecessary fear. My friend, God can give you the courage to face tomorrow. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's why God said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. And then that group of ladies that were there at the tomb and they noticed an empty tomb, the angel said, "Fear not, for you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen." There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. My friend, when you and I enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we understand His love for us, and we love Him as we ought to love Him, God will cast out all fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. The Bible teaches us that fear has torment. But he that feareth is not made perfect in love, the Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:18. The message of Christmas is a message of hope. This hope is found in Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ we have hope, and therefore God can give us deliverance over unnecessary fear that cripples and stifles. But also note there in verse number 10, he went on to say, the angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Good tidings, good news. The good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, is a source of joy. And note then verse 10, it makes reference to great joy. Not just a measure of joy, exceeding joy. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, "I've come to give life, and I've come to give life more abundantly." So God offers you and I hope. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God can give us victory and deliverance over unnecessary, stifling fear, but God can also fill our hearts and lives with His joy. Lasting joy. Lasting joy that is not connected to our standing in society. For God is the God of lasting joy. And in Galatians chapter 5, the Bible teaches us, if you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then we will have such joy. A joy that passes all understanding. Why is there so much alcohol consumed during this time of the year? Why? Because simply because people are trying to drown their sadness or convince themselves that they are happy when they are not happy. My friend, you don't need to drink alcohol to be happy. In Jesus Christ, there is great joy. There is great joy. There is hope in Jesus Christ. He removes unnecessary fear. And in Jesus Christ, there is great joy. Lasting joy. Lasting joy that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And remember, this announcement that was made to this group of shepherds was not just for them alone. Because at the end of verse 10, remember it reads, "which shall be to all people." To all people. That includes you. That includes me. That I can have victory over fear. I can have hope in God and therefore not be stifled by unnecessary fear, but also in Jesus Christ there is hope, and therefore I can experience great joy. Great joy. Because of the good news of Jesus Christ. And therefore the one that provides this hope is worthy of glory. Note then, verse number 14 it reads, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth." Glory to God in the highest. God is worthy of glory. In fact, in Psalm 19, please, if you would turn there with me for a moment. Psalm 19. Verse verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." These verses simply teach the fact that creation is God's voice piece, that God exists. The glory of creation reveals God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, we see God's presence in creation, and it's within his creation God reflects his glory. And upon the announcement of the Savior, the Bible teaches us that a multitude of heavenly hosts began to praise God as well. And they cried out, "Glory to God! Glory to God!" And on this Christmas day, may you and I confess and openly declare, "Glory to God! God be glorified! God be glorified in the highest and on earth, in your life and in my life. May God be glorified." Note there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." As we rejoice this day in the birth of our Savior, the God of hope, God who removes fear, God who provides greatness of joy, our God is worthy of glory. Glory to God in the highest and on the earth. And my friend, God is glorified in his creation, but God also wants to be glorified in your life and in my life. And the Bible teaches us, as we've just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ was shed upon Mount Calvary to pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. We've been purchased out of the slave market of sin with the priceless blood, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. And we are not our own. We belong to our Master, the one that has redeemed us, the one that has purchased us. And the Bible teaches us that we are to glorify Him. Does your life glorify God? As we celebrate the birth of a Savior, a multitude of heavenly hosts cried out, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth." Glory to God. Does your life glorify God? Does my life glorify God? If we valued the birth of Jesus Christ on this Christmas day, may you and I make a commitment this day afresh to glorify God. To glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. And back in Luke chapter 2, verse number 14, it reads, "Peace, and on earth, peace. Peace." Peace and safety is highly prized today, is it not? Peace and safety is highly prized today, is it not? It is. the universal issue, peace and safety. Even here down in the land of down under, the issue of peace and safety is an issue. That peace, that lasting peace, is found in the person of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. In Romans chapter 5, we are told, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 1:20 reads, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Peace can only be possessed in the person of Christ. He is that Prince of Peace. He is that Prince of Peace. Without God, there is no lasting peace. There is no lasting safety. And the message of Christmas, the birth of Christ, is a message of hope that removes fear, that imparts great joy, and gives peace to the soul. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Before you can have the peace of God, you need to be at peace with God. To be at peace with God is possible by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Peace. Oh, in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. How true that is. But in Jesus Christ there is peace. Do you have God's peace? Do you have God's peace reigning in your heart by faith in Jesus Christ? Peace, joy, victory over fear. But last but not least, at the end of verse 14 it reads, goodwill toward men. Good works, good deeds towards all men. It is within a relationship with Jesus Christ we can consistently demonstrate goodwill towards others. Note there, please, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it reads, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God's salvation is made possible by God's grace, by the medium of faith, the Bible teaches us in verse 8. It's not of works, it is a gift, verse 8 also teaches us. And for those of us that have received this gift of God by faith, according to God's unmerited favour, grace, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you and I that have a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith, we can consistently demonstrate goodwill toward others. And we cry out during this Christmas season, goodwill toward men, and rightfully so. But my friend, for you and I to consistently reflect goodwill, good works, good deeds towards others, we need a power that only comes from God. We need the love of God in our hearts by faith in Jesus Christ. God replaced the shepherd's painful fear with hope. And this hope was the means of casting out fear, imparting great joy. Peace and the ability to reflect that faith through good works, goodwill toward all men. And rightfully so, as it reads there in Luke chapter 2, verse number 14, that this multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God. And on this Christmas day, may you and I cry out, glory to God. Glory to God. For a Saviour has been born. Christ the Lord. And it's within that relationship with the Saviour I can have victory over fear. I can have abundance of joy, and I can enjoy the peace of God that passes all understanding. And with that victory over fear, with that joy and peace, I can consistently reflect and demonstrate, communicate goodwill toward all men. God is worthy of our glory. The birth of Jesus Christ, initially given to this group of lowly shepherds, was a message of hope. God is the God of hope. And I trust and pray that on this Christmas day, as you and I reflect upon the birth of Christ, my friend, will you reflect upon the fact as to whether you've had that second birth, that spiritual birth, that places you within the family of God. Jesus Christ called it being born again. Born again. I experienced that birth at the age of 14. When I acknowledged my sinful condition before a holy God, and I chose to believe that Jesus Christ died for me, for my sin, was buried and rose again. And there in simplicity and by faith, I just lifted up my heart to God and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to be my personal Savior. That day changed my life. On that day I experienced a second birth. So Jesus Christ was born to become Savior so that you and I can experience that second birth. And on this Christmas day, I'd like to encourage you, if you've yet to make that decision and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, that on this day, you by faith will experience that second birth. And for those of us that have, glory to God. Let's not just cry out glory to God. Let's give evidence by glorifying God, by giving Him our body and our spirit. Because remember, you've been bought with a price. Yeah, not your own. Glory to God. Let's bow for prayer.